This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Michael K. is on the radio today, and he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking. Is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is David Cone, and it's 3 p.m. The Michael K. Show starts now. Don't screw it up, boys.
Thank you, Coney, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on a beautiful Tuesday, November 24th, 2020, on the Michael K. Show. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're all apart. We're together for the next 4 hours, the other 20. That is your responsibility. Hope you're having a great day. Hope everything's going well in your world. We thank you for joining us, as we always do. Yesterday, there was some shocking news that Peter Rosenberg, behind Don LaGreca's back and my back, said that he was actually going to, as they say, host a show on Friday. Because we're all off.
That's how they say it?
Yeah. And, you know, Don and I had been asked, and we all said, nah, you know, let's pass. You know, we've been going at it for a while now. Let's give ourselves a nice four-day break.
Sure.
And Peter, behind our back, actually got the gig. He's going to host alone. He got didn't want to have Carlin with him, didn't want to have Han, didn't want to have Canty, didn't want anybody. So that upset me. So I got in contact with management yesterday.
Oh, you really?
Yeah. Mark after the Mania. Show. And I said, listen, I'm doing the show. I'm doing the show with Peter. And you know what I was told, Don?
What's that?
No, we're good. You have a lot of vacation days you got to take, and we're not letting you work on Friday. Shut down to host a show with my name on it. Shut down so that Peter could do it himself.
So we're expected to believe this story.
It is true.
I don't think it is.
It's very true.
You don't wait, Don. You're saying there's no world in which they wouldn't insist Michael work.
Well, I'm not saying they would insist. They're not turning down his offer.
They turned it down.
No.
What do you mean, no? Well, I'd open the show by telling a false story?
That's right. That's what I believe, is that this is a lie. Is a falsehood.
Well, now, I sort of take that as an indictment on me now.
It is. It's an indictment on you. You're right, buddy.
Maybe this is something that they're thinking, you know, this is a good A. Kaster's going to give us problems later. I didn't even take Thanksgiving Friday. They just don't want to hear it from him later. And they're like, you know what? Peter will do a good job. You know, maybe we want to get some ears on him, see what this guy's really got, which I understand. And also, they don't want to hear Michael's yap later.
I've always, the Friday, the Thanksgiving Friday has been a bane of my existence for a long time.
For everybody.
Where we were, when Stephen A. used to do a local show on the station, this was before he became, you know, a $10 million a year man, they played both of us against each other. Don remembers this.
Yeah.
They called up Stephen A. and said, you got to work on Friday. Michael's working. So he said, okay, if Michael's working, I'll work. Then they called me up and they said, you got to work Friday because Stephen A.'s working. I said, Stephen A.'s working? And he goes, yeah. And I said, okay, then I'll work.
Wow.
But they thought that, you know, I'm some rube just off the boat. I called up Stephen A.
Michael,
I said,
Kenny,
are you out of your mind?
Steve?
He goes, what are you talking about?
I said, are you
out of your mind? Why did you agree to work on Friday? He goes, I agreed because they said you were. I said, no. I agreed because they said you were. And then the light went off on both of our heads.
Wow.
And we both walked out. We said, we're not working Friday.
Here's why what you claim
called skeevy management
didn't happen, okay? Because you're right. That was the past. And we don't have that kind of management anymore.
Wait, it's the same people, no?
No. The person who did this is no longer here.
Okay. He's no longer with us.
No,
they're
no,
not
he's around.
Swarmy like that. All right, and I don't believe that this current management would do that. But they still want all three of us to work on Friday, so they put in the ask, and we all say no. So this is how it works, Michael. This is why I know you're kind of lying. I'm sorry. Is then they start to go to work on us, and they went to work on Peter, and it worked. So then they started to go back to work on me, and I shut it down because I know better. All right, because I've been here from the beginning. I've been here before everybody.
That's right.
All right, and I've learned. If I had said yes, Michael, they know that you would have joined because you would not have had both of us do it. You'd be like, Peter, you know what? I'm going to work.
Peter hit it right on the nose, though. They know that I'm just going to hang it over them if I work on Friday, and they have Peter locked in, so they're good. They said, no, you've got too many vacation days. You haven't taken any, they said.
And the reason I said no was because then I knew that once I was committed and Peter was committed, that you would have said, well, I'm going to work. And I wasn't going to sit there on a day that I wanted off and all three of us would be working. So I stood strong and said no.
Don, is that
management wants you to work? No offense, Peter.
None taken.
But I think they want to try to get as many of us working, if not all three of us working on Friday. There's no way Michael offered and they said, no, you've got too many vacation days. Stop it. Stop it.
No, I'm telling you, that's what they said. And you know what? I'd also like to make a plea to the people that do the ratings. Why would they rate Thanksgiving in the day after Thanksgiving? It's a joke.
Wow. So you're so scared you don't even want them to rate the day.
Well, I mean, Thanksgiving. No, it shouldn't be rated. People aren't in the cars. Well, they are. Well, not this year.
Hmm.
The Michael K. Show, which I will not be a part of on Friday on 98.7 ESPN, it's just a show, is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. So after the show yesterday, I tune in to the Yankee Hot Stove Show on Yes, which was on at 7.
It is very good.
There's a Net Hot Stove Show after this show on Yes. And I was anxious to hear Aaron Boone, who really hasn't spoken since the Yankees got eliminated. So Merritt Marakovich did the interview, and I'm watching him, and he's in his home wearing a Yankee pullover and a Yankee hat, which I don't quite get.
He's very professional.
Yeah, I guess he's always in uniform. He's ready in case they call and say, there's a game that broke out in the backyard, you've got to manage it. He's ready. Right. Toward the end of the interview, Meredith asked him a question about Gary Sanchez, and it got my attention in a big way. And I called up my people at Yes. I said, please, can we have that cut? I want to play it on the show tomorrow. Listen to what Boone said regarding Gary Sanchez. Here it is.
Well, I would say it's a really hard game. And like I said, with Glaber being a young player, Gary came up at a very demanding position, the most demanding position on the field. And especially when you're the level of talent that he is offensively and you carry a load that he does offensively, there's inevitably going to be some growing pains that go along with becoming a major league catcher. And I think he's been unfairly criticized a lot. I think at times it's over the top and people are blinded by some of the things that he's done really well. You know, this year was certainly a challenging year for him and a struggle for him in a lot of ways, but that's okay. I mean, that's part of the game. You know, sometimes you have a tough season. And this season was tough for so many people across the league for different reasons. But we understand that Gary is a major talent. And while he struggled in certain areas, he's also made amazing strides in certain areas. And again, like with all our players, it's important that we continue to come alongside and hopefully continue to develop him to be the player that so many of us believe he can be.
Okay, so if there are Yankee fans listening right now, get a little closer to the speaker. Closer. Okay. So you heard what the manager said? Gary Sanchez is not going anywhere.
No.
He went out of his way to actually make himself look a little bad to tell you how good Gary Sanchez is. That's number one that I got out of it. So everybody that thought that Sanchez not even starting the game that eliminated the Yankees out of the postseason was certainly a portent of things to come, that he was no longer in their plans. I think that they are a little bit paralyzed by the prospect of Sanchez going somewhere else and rediscovering what he's lost. And although money is at a premium this year, and amazingly the way the arbitration system works in baseball, you could actually hit 147 and strike out essentially a third of the time, maybe 40% of the time, and you'll still get a raise. So he's going to make $6 million. They know that if they release him, there's a chance a team like Tampa Bay could pick him up, and then he haunts them for the next 10 years. And I get all of that. He's probably untradeable at $5 million or $6 million. So with Aaron Boone saying that, that means he's coming back. So if you were celebrating and you thought that was the last that you'd have to see of Gary, stop the celebration. That's number one. Number two, what I got from this, from the day he got here and from the day 10 years ago, maybe even more, that I worked with him on national radio, Yankees and the Tigers, the A's and the Tigers, we had a blast. And he was so good with me that he ended up getting the Sunday Night Baseball gig. That's how good I am with people.
Yep.
I've liked this guy. But when he yesterday says that the criticism was over the top, I was dumbfounded. I was dumbfounded that he would say that. Gary hit 147. You didn't start him in four of the five games against the Rays. You played seven games in the postseason. He played in three of them. He did not catch well. He was an albatross. Your own starting ace, Garrett Cole, didn't want to pitch to him. And we were over the top? And you can't say it was just one bad year. Look at the year before last year. He didn't have a good year then either. And there's some things he does well. Okay, so you brought in Tanner Swanson, the catching instructor, to teach him how to frame pitches better, especially lower pitches. And you know what? He got better at that. But there were still pass balls because he's down on his knee. So please don't say that the criticism was over the top. That's unfair. The greatest criticism to a ball player is the manager not putting him in the lineup. You didn't put him in the lineup in the game that would decide whether you went on in the playoffs. Was that over the top?
Right.
So, listen. I'm a Boone fan. I believe that Boone should be the manager here for a long time. But one thing that's bothering me, this whole year has been bothering me, I know that managers, and I know that one of the rules of engagement of being hired now, you don't rip your players in public. And I get it. Nobody expects you to rip players in public. But when you go over the top to say that the media or the criticism of the fans was over the top, you're losing credibility.
I know.
Everybody knows you can't believe that. You didn't start him in the win-or-go-home game. So how are we over the top when you wouldn't start him in that game? It almost made me pull my hair out, Don. It's so unfair. And I know Aaron wants to talk up his players, and one of the reasons he got the job was that Girardi and Sanchez butted heads. So one of the first things that Aaron did was go down to the Dominican and talk with Gary. That was one of the first things he did after getting the job. And then you sit back on the Yes Network and say that the criticism was over the top and unfair. Don, am I out of my mind?
No,
you hit 147,
yeah,
and you didn't start him in four of the five games against Tampa Bay.
That's all you need to know, is he's defending a player that he would not put in the lineup in the biggest games of the year. So that's all you need to say. Actions speak louder than words. So he can say, use all the words that he wants. Say all that he wants. The fact is, in the biggest games of the year, with the Yankees season on the line, he was not behind the plate. So I don't care. He can write a book on how great Gary is, how underrated he is, how unfair we are to him. Actions speak louder than words. And in an era where baseball managers are really been taken out of the day-in, day-out decisions, and they're hired for their communicative skills, this is why Boone was hired. Because this organization wants to make it work with Gary Sanchez. If they were going to let him go, Michael, they would be working the PR machine on ways that maybe they can live without him. But now they're telling you how important he is to the team because they've got to sell that to the fans because he's coming back. And the perfect deliverer of that message is Aaron Boone. Because I don't think Joe Girardi would be able to do this. Joe Girardi's a former catcher. Joe Girardi would not be able to sell the way Boone did that Gary is underrated, that you're being unfair to him. Because Joe wouldn't have been able to do it. But this is why Boone was hired, because he is willing to do that. And I'm not saying that he's Fugazi. I'm just saying that that's what his skill set is, to sell in a press conference what the organization wants to sell. And he does that better than anybody, and that's why he's got the job.
And I am not opposed to bringing Sanchez back. I'm not. I've seen the power. I've seen it. But if Gerrit Cole feels more comfortable pitching to Kyle Higashioka, that means every big game that your ace pitches, Gary's not starting. And I'm fine with it. I'm fine with bringing back Sanchez. I don't give up on him. I know he had a terrible year. Terrible. And I personally, I've said this before, everybody, I think they broke him because of their insistence on him being better defensively. And I don't blame them for that either. But I don't know if Gary was able to handle the overflow of information. Stay down on one knee. Worry about framing. This and that. Different pitchers. The Yankees have a very complicated game plan before every game. And then you expect the guy to go out and hit 35 to 40 home runs. Maybe he still has it in him. Maybe they think he still has it in him. But please, I know that I'm part of, that's partly directed at me and fans and the right. Don't say we were over the top when you wouldn't start him in a win or go home game. That's the most over the top statement you could make. The best way to discipline a player or tell them you're disappointed, you don't write their name in the lineup. You didn't do that for kicks and giggles. And you know who pitched game five of that game, of that series? Oh, yeah, Gerrit Cole.
So I have a couple questions, Michael K. Michael K. If we believe that this is Boone's job, to get out there and rah-rah, sis-boom-bah, make everyone feel better about what's going on, who has the absolute obsession with Gary Sanchez? And also, what do you do if you bring him back and you just get more of the same and he becomes almost immovable because of how many consecutive years now he's batted this bat?
Then you just release him. Because after this year, he'll be a free agent. Then you would just release him in the middle of the season, and then you don't worry about him coming back to haunt you. And I think that the Yankees... they don't do anything slipshod. They think things through a million times. So they probably looked at the available catchers out there James McCann. They're not going to go in the Real Muto end of the pool because that's going to be over $20 million a year, and they're not going to raise their payroll. And they said anybody that we get to replace him is probably going to cost about the same, and we still have the potential of Gary being great. Okay, I'm not saying give up on Gary. But don't have the gall to say that people are over the top in their criticism when there's no greater criticism than not playing someone.
I do think that there is a protection level with him. I think they don't want to criticize him publicly. It's probably part of the game, right, Peter, of let's talk this guy up because maybe he's fragile mentally. That's why I think Joe Girardi lost his job, because Joe would handle him tough. And you need somebody who's going to handle him with kid gloves. So maybe this is over the top because they want to send the message to Gary, we're behind you. We believe in you. Because
maybe they're trying to trade him. I think this is the complete opposite. Well, I don't think they can trade him.
But here's the thing, Michael. We live in a world of analytics. So the Yankees talking him up, whoever's going to want to trade for Gary has got to believe in him, not believe what somebody else believes. They see the numbers. They know the player. You know, they're not going to be duped into, oh, Aaron Boone on the hot stove talked him up. They're going to go by the numbers. All right? And, hey, listen, I understand not wanting to give up on a player. But what I don't get here is that you're doing this because you don't want him to go someplace else and excel. What? So that's a PR hit. Okay. So that's a bad PR hit. But you'd rather than keep the player and have him hurt you on the field? To me, I'll take the PR hit, but what I don't want to do is keep him and then continue this cycle of waiting for something to happen. It's never going to happen. He's a .147 hitter. He had 10 home runs in 60 games. All right, extrapolate that out, Michael. How many would he have hit? 20, 25?
25, yeah.
All right, so this is not a guy who's hitting 50 home runs. I think the evidence shows that 2016 and 17 were probably the aberrations. And now he's a player that just seems to be shot. So you're going to try to keep him to avoid the PR disaster, but now have him on your roster where he can actually hurt you and cause problems.
Maybe they think they could fix him. Again, I think it's a bad look. Even though Brian predicted it, Sonny Gray going to the Reds and being a really good pitcher is not a good look for the Yankees. You can't say you can't do it here. And if Gary Sanchez went somewhere else and turned it around, it wouldn't be a good look for the Yankees. Right. And there's only so many times that you can say, well, it's New York. Well, Gary Sanchez was a phenom in New York. They changed the city. And if anything, this year should have been easier. There wasn't a person in the stands.
I get, but, you know, also being a Yankee and having to deal with the media, there is a certain pressure that I think comes even with nobody in the stands, right? Because you still take that on the road with you, right? Half your games are on the road, but you're still a Yankee. You still represent an organization where the mission statement every year is to win a championship, right?
Well, the pressure of the fans.
Of social media where you could still get bashed, Peter, even though you're not hearing boos in the stands.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not about the physical presence. You're aware of what this fan, that how they're tuned in every single day.
But there was no media pressure, though. I could count on two hands the times that Gary had to go on a Zoom call. So, I mean, when writers and media are allowed in the clubhouse, you almost have to, you could be cornered any day.
Yeah, but they know about shows like this where the callers are calling up. Remember, you guys remember Gil from Bensonhurst?
Yeah, that was weird.
And even if Gary doesn't listen to it, I'm sure he's told, oh, they're killing you. You know, I was listening to the Michael Kay show, they're killing you.
Well, right. one thing that we've never done, and Don, you've sat alongside me his whole career, I've never killed Gary Sanchez. I think that he had a really terrible year this year. I'm not going to put lipstick on a pig, and that's why I was so offended that we were over the top. How are we over the top? And my advice to Aaron, although I don't know if Aaron would take any advice from me, you're ruining your credibility by saying stuff like that because everybody has eyes. Everybody saw what he did. Everybody saw the year that he had. Everybody saw that you didn't start him in a win-or-go-home game. So for you all of a sudden to be singing his praises, what? Again, you're not supposed to rip your players. I get that. But to go, you're going over the top saying all the good things that he does when you didn't play him. And you might lose credibility with your players because Gerrit Cole didn't want to pitch to him at the end. This is the most important player in the organization for the next 8 years. And he's here and you say that we're all missing this, that, you know, there's things that he does really well. Well, if Gerrit Cole doesn't want to pitch to him, isn't that a significant thing?
Well, not only that, Michael, is that somebody's going to screw up this year. Somebody's going to have a bad year. I'm hoping if I'm that player that I'd get the same support from Aaron Boone that Gary Sanchez got.
I want my bosses to be so supportive of me the way Aaron Boone is of every Yankee.
Right.
I think it's wonderful.
Right, but you almost have to be now because if you struggle and Boone rips you in the press conference or lets it known that you're somebody that maybe he's not a fan of, they're going to be like, wait a minute, you had Gary's back. He's hitting .147. You don't have my back? And now if you've got everybody's back and everybody's great, well, then why am I even watching the press conference then? Because then I'm just going to know. So full support's great, but you want to know that it's genuine. Like when you get a compliment from somebody, you feel good. But if you turn around and you find out that that same compliment was paid to 20 other people, some of them that are not even as good as you think you are, then you'd be like, oh, well, then that compliment doesn't mean anything.
Having my back
doesn't mean anything.
I don't know if it's the job and the pressure of the job and the rules of engagement. I've now seen two men, Joe Girardi, who I knew as a player and as a partner in the broadcast booth, who would never, ever, ever tell a mistruth. He just, it was against his religion, literally. He got up on that podium and he said stuff that we knew was not true. Aaron Boone's one of the finest people I've ever met. And I watched him this year spouting stuff out there. I go, that's not true. Like when he took out Aaron Judge out of a game in the fifth inning, everybody said, nothing's wrong with him. And then he went on the IL for 2 months. So, again, you can't sell your credibility for the rules of engagement. There's a real tightrope that you have to walk. Gene Michael once told Brian Cashman, never, ever lie to the media, ever. He said, just say no comment. But if you're going to tell a lie, they're going to find out about it. And they do.
But what I don't understand, Michael, and you know these people way more than I do, although I've gotten to know Boone, would it be so bad to be critical of the player, but that still at the end of the press conference have his back? Just say, he's got to be better, but we believe there's something in there. We're not going to get rid of this guy because we believe that what happened in 2016 and 2017 is going to resurface. So 147 is unacceptable. 25 home runs a year is unacceptable. His pass balls are unacceptable. He needs to be better, but we are going to stick with him. Doesn't that do the same thing? You're sticking to him. Why do you got to blow smoke up our butt?
Because that's why Girardi lost his job. I think one of the reasons.
Ball players, radio hosts, plumbers, right? I think they react to the same thing. Be honest with me, but tell me you still believe. All right? If I have a management guy coming to me and say, Don, I just want to tell you, you just got to do a better job at this. You got to do a better job at that. But you know what? You're our guy, and we believe in you, and we believe that you're going to get better, and you're not going anyplace. But I do think that you need to improve. Isn't that better than have somebody smile and say, you're doing a great job, Don. We love you. You know, keep doing what you're doing. Okay. And you know in your heart that that's not really the case.
All right. Today is the penultimate day. That means the second to last day of our 20 and 20 giveaway. Tomorrow's big money we're giving away. Today, you know what we're giving away, right? A Samsung 4K 58-inch TV. 58 inches. They say it doesn't matter. It matters. 58 inches matters.
People that say size doesn't matter
have never seen a Samsung 4K 58-inch TV.
Do not have a 58-inch television.
So how do you do it? Well, we'll play an audio clip of one of the celebrities that have appeared on the show over the years. And then later on, we'll ask you to call in. First caller with the correct answer gets this smashing TV. So let's hear today's audio clue.
It's the Michael K. Show's 20 in 20.
This is a play, so it's not like I can wander off and go, what's with you people?
I know.
I don't.
Big fan.
I think I know. I didn't at the beginning, and then I got it toward the
end.
I
got it. Big
fan. All right, so we're going to take a brief time out. Yeah. A lot of people want to talk to us about the Sanchez Boone situation, so please, and sit tight.
And I got an announcement, Michael.
You have an announcement?
Yeah.
Wow.
I got it.
Wow, every day.
Stark Brothers YouTube channel.
I have a top five.
Wow. Awesome. Beautiful.
I think we can wedge it in at 4:30.
I think we got time, though. No wedge. We got time.
Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We'll give you another listen to the audio clue, and then later on you get a chance to call in and win that 58-inch TV. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Jordan in Huntington. Start it off, Jordan.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Huge fan of the show. Don, nice. Peter, Mike, I love you guys. I listen every day, so I just thank you for, you know, great work, great show, and you guys are the best. So
thank you,
happy
Jordan.
Thanksgiving to you and your family. Everyone stay well. I'm a huge Yankee fan, and this sound got me going. I mean, I'm really fired up. You know, I equate it to, I'm thinking in my car while I'm on hold, I run a business, and Don mentioned plumbing. I do heating and air conditioning, right? So if I have a guy who works for me, and I'm scared if I let him go, he's going to become a better person, go somewhere else and be a better employee. But I don't let him go because of that fear, and he's hurting my business. How does that help my business?
Exactly.
It's the same thing with Gary Sanchez. And I've been a Sanchez fan. I've been a supporter of him. I said, okay, last year, you know, give him time. this year he started off slow. All right, give him time, let him settle in. I know you guys have argued the points, Michael, that he holds a tremendous load offensively and supports the team, you know, for stretches. I get that. But last year, this year, it's been absent. And then you add on the actual, you add on the other stuff of now it's catching, defense. Garrett Cole doesn't want to pitch to him. We're playing against Houston. He has pass balls. The pass balls have caused us to lose games in the past, whether last season, I mean, not so much this season, but in the playoffs. You can't do that. You can't commit those errors. How is that helping our business? How are we ever going to win a World Series? Truthfully, Michael, how are we ever going to win a World Series with him supposedly being our starting catcher, and even in the pressure-packed moments, he doesn't perform at the plate at all? And thank you for the time, guys. Thank you.
I mean, but he has had some big home runs. And remember in that game four against the Red Sox a couple of years ago in 18, that ball almost went out. And it's a different – I mean, he's had some big hits for them.
Hey,
he really has. That's why it's hard to let go, because we've seen the flashes. And nobody's saying let go. But I know what Don's saying. Don't hold on just because of the fear that he'll be great somewhere else. And also – please don't put lipstick on a pig and say that we've been over the top in our criticism when the last 2 years have been miserably bad for him. He would tell you they've been miserably bad. You can't hit 147 and not expect the fan base and the media to not criticize him, and then you not start him in a win-or-go-home game.
See, That's
the ultimate insult.
But I just can't buy the whole idea, well, what a PR disaster it would be if we sent him to the Reds and he ends up becoming an all-star. Who cares? Yeah, you take the PR hit, but having him on the team and then your backup catcher ends up playing in the biggest games of the year? Because that's what's going to end up happening. If he fails you and you keep him for another year in another one of those must-win championship seasons, and your backup catcher, whether it's Higashioka or whoever it is, because every year that becomes the most popular Yankee, like the backup quarterback on a bad team. It was Romine, then it was Higgy, then who's it going to be next year? Because that's the guy that ends up having to catch your ace. That's the guy that ends up having to play in the elimination game. And the intoxicating moments, the almost home run against the Red Sox, the grand slam against the Mets. Remember that?
Yep.
That was a big play. What happened? There never ends up being a follow-up, Michael. He teases you and then disappears and strikes out 9 of the next 10 times. That you can't buy into the teasing because it's
and
not
what a,
consistent.
What an embarrassing failure it would be to bring this guy back, and to your point, Don, not have him play when it matters.
I think the most significant development is the Garrett Cole development.
Yeah.
So, again, we were not privy to the innermost thoughts of these players this year because we couldn't go into the clubhouse. So they were only made available on Zoom. I get it. That's how it was all in the world. But I didn't see any anger. I don't know if he exhibited any anger toward Boone or toward Cole when he was told he wasn't going to catch the ace of the staff, which means that you will not catch the biggest games in the postseason. I didn't see it. Maybe Gary doesn't present himself that way. But I will tell you what happened in 2009. A.J. Burnett did not like pitching to Jorge Posada. So they started Jose Molina in World Series games because Burnett could not pitch to Posada. You know how Posada handled it? He hates A.J. Burnett's guts 11 years later.
Right.
He's still not over it. How ticked off he got. He
right.
wanted to strangle the guy.
This is one of the old-time Yankees. This is one of the core four.
I mean, that's how you're supposed to react when the ace says, I don't want to catch you. You get him in the corner and go, what don't you like? Let's fix it. You don't just let it happen. Posada to this day can't stand Burnett. That's the kind of fire you need.
Thank God.
Read the book Mission 27. Brian Hoke and Mark Feinstein. Read it. About the championship in 2009. How fired up Posada was and how he could not understand why A.J. Burnett wouldn't pitch to him.
And Michael, the conversations that we had throughout that whole World Series, it was the number one topic of conversation. I didn't have much to say because it was 2009. We were in a really bad place. But, you know, that was the conversation that we had all the time, is how do you not start Posada and the relationship and kind of getting on A.J. for it. Like, don't you have to adapt to a great catcher? You know, it's not even that, Michael. It's the fact that he strikes out constantly. He bats a buck 47, even in the analytic world, Michael. But 147's bad.
Yeah, they say they don't care about batting average. 147, and his OB, his OBP is terrible.
Right.
He had a really, really bad last couple of years. Nobody's overstating it. The numbers state it. This is a team that lives and dies on numbers. The numbers tell you, you know what? He hasn't been very good.
But because, you know, so let's forget about the fact that Cole doesn't want to pitch to him. Because, like, the A.J. Burnett situation explains to you that sometimes borderline Hall of Famers have to take a seat. But this is not a borderline Hall of Famer, Michael. He's barely a borderline major leaguer. With those numbers, Michael, I don't care. That's just bad. You're telling me that's Rob Deer. That's Dave Kingman. You're batting under a 150 and you're going to hit 25 home runs? That's worse than Kingman and Deer. Because at least those guys hit 35, 40 home runs. And you know what? As bad as Deer was and as bad as Kingman was, Kingman had hit 235.
And you know what type of year that is? To put it all into perspective, Chris Davis of the Orioles.
Yeah. He's Chris Davis.
He can't play anymore. That's what Chris Davis does. He cannot play the game anymore. And the only reason they keep him around is because they owe him so much money. He cannot play.
Right. They made the mistake. And now they got to live with that mistake. That's what you don't want to have happen here, Michael. So take the PR hit. Let him go to Kansas City and become a Hall of Famer. Yeah, that'll stink. That'll make the Yankees look bad. But if he ends up being a headache that you're stuck with, and you're now losing games because of him, and you're missing World Series because of him, isn't that worse?
But I don't mind them bringing him back this year and have a very short leash. And if he gets off in April and May and hits 150, you release him. But I'm not saying get rid of him now. I'm not. I mean, I took the most offense to it that, you know, we overreacted and we've been unfair in our criticism. Right. Come on.
But, all right, but you're going over the top. And what if you have the exact same year?
We get rid of him before then. Cup 8.
No, but will they? Because maybe there's that intoxication of, you know what, maybe it isn't 25 home runs. Maybe he actually hits 35.
Well, here's the embarrassment, all right? He won't start opening day.
No.
Higashioka will. Higashioka will start at least 32 games, all of Cole's starts.
But you're making it seem like the only games he missed, Michael, were the games Cole pitched. There
he missed other ones, too. All right, so you know our giveaway. This is the second to last day. Tomorrow we're giving away cash in our 20 and 20. Lousy year, and we're just trying to make it better by giving you great things, and we've done that over 18 days. Today, a Samsung 4K 58-inch TV when you identify this audio clue.
It's the Michael K. Show's 20 in 20.
This is a play, so it's not like I can wander off and go, what's with you people?
There you go. All right, so we'll ask you in our next segment to call in, and the first caller that has the correct answer gets himself a TV.
You got it, Peter?
No.
Oh, really?
It's like right on the edge.
And this is the guy hosting Friday.
Oh, really?
I don't think the show is going to be identifying great guests.
Actually,
from what I'm understanding, it's actually booking great guests.
You know what, Don? It's a great point by you.
All right, let's take a brief timeout. We'll come back, take some phone calls, get a contest winner as well, but don't call in yet. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
Yesterday, there was some shocking news that Peter Rosenberg, behind Don LaGreca's back and my back, said that he was actually going to, as they say, host a show on Friday, because we're all off. And Don and I had been asked, and we all said, let's pass. Peter, behind our back, actually got the gig. He's going to host alone. So that upset me. I got in contact with management, and I said, I'm doing the show. And you know what I was told, Don? No, we're good. Shut down.
This is the Michael K. Show.
They turned it down.
No.
What do you mean, no? I'd open the show by telling a false story?
That's right. This is a lie.
I sort of take that as an indictment on me now.
It is. It's an indictment on you. You're right, buddy.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Things getting ugly. Tuesday before Thanksgiving. You don't like to see it? That's not what you want. Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get.
Yep.
Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. All right, so Let's talk Knicks before we even get to any contests or anything like that. So I said yesterday, a lot of people pushed back on it, that, you know, it was a bad weekend. It's been a bad off season for the Knicks. It's a short off season. Now, I do like the pick of Obi Toppin. I like it. And I don't know that much about Quickly, but the things I've heard and the things I've talked to people about, looks like he could be good. But in terms of whether or not they're a better team than they were last year, you'd be hard-pressed to say they are, unless Obi Toppin, as a rookie, comes in and just lights it up. Are they a better team? They don't have a point guard. So their point guard is either Elfrid Payton, Austin Rivers, Frank Ntilikina, or Dennis Smith Jr. Now, in order for young players to grow, they need a veteran point guard to get them the ball.
But
Elfrid Payton is the closest guy to a veteran point guard.
But young point guards need a great coach to grow. And maybe we will get more out of Payton and Dennis Smith Jr. than we've seen before. Maybe Thibodeau can do that. Or Thibodeau.
Well, I mean, Payton is what Payton is. So, I mean, if Thibodeau can somehow get Dennis Smith Jr. to the part that he was supposed to be, that would be wonderful. I don't think that's happening. So, you spent most of your money. They have $18 million of cap space remaining out of their 40. Do you know that they have to spend another 11 just to get to the NBA floor? Just to get to the NBA floor. So, the Post has a story today that Scott Perry, who drafted Victor Oladipo with Orlando, would love to get him and explore a trade with the Pacers, but Leon Rose doesn't want to. And it looks like the Knicks might be out on Russell Westbrook. So they've missed out on Van Vliet. Didn't want to leave his teammates with Toronto. Got it. Gordon Hayward, priced out. I wouldn't pay him 120 over 4. DJ Augustine, out. Carmelo Anthony said no thanks. Or as Don would say, I'm good. The Post said that Leon Rose made a big push for power forward Jeremy Grant. They signed with Detroit. So right now, if you're a Knicks fan, 72-game season, and you got to think lottery again and think Cade Cunningham or Jalen Green, who is supposedly two studs that are coming out after this year. How many years do Knicks fans have to keep saying, okay, wait till next year, let's develop the young players? You had money, you had $40 million in cap space, and nothing. You didn't do anything. They've added Nerlens Noel.
Love him.
Alec Burks.
Big fan.
Austin Rivers. Amari Spellman. Jacob Evans. And Elfrid Payton. Anybody exciting you? Like, let's say that fans are allowed at the Garden. You're walking up to the box office. If you're 33rd and 7th, I'm going to go to the game today. I want to see one of those guys play.
Well, there's at least one player in that group, Nerlens Noel, who people thought was going to be good.
Right.
So there's one. Now, he's been on four teams in like 5 years, so not so much. But he at least was thought to be, on paper, a really physically gifted big man. There are names on that list I don't know.
They've done nothing.
They really,
you know, what
are.
They've done? They've collected draft picks. Okay, so they have 19 draft picks. Over the next six drafts, 8 first-rounders, 11 second-rounders. So they've got the collateral to move up. This is the only you're not going to get anybody to come here unless you start winning games. And you're not going to win games unless you get a big star player. And at this point, of all the kids they've taken in the draft, they have not uncovered one jewel yet. R.J. Barrett, not Ja Morant, not Zion Williamson. So the ping-pong popped the wrong way for them. R.J. Barrett could end up being could be a very good player. Is he going to be on the level of Ja Morant? No. Zion Williamson? Probably not. Frank Ntilikina was a complete miss. Kevin Knox? Very unimpressive. So the best player, the best needle mover they got was the second round pick, Mitchell Robinson. Sometimes you get lucky, but he's not a great player. His range is 3 feet. So, I talked to a lot of people before the draft, and when there was a rumor about Westbrook, and most NBA people said, you got to make the Westbrook trade because you've got to change the culture. You've got to start winning games in order to attract other people. The Knicks have not done that. So, and even Don said this yesterday, how unfair is it that the fate of the Knicks is lying in the lap of a 22-year-old named Obi Toppin, who we're going to have on at 5 o'clock? That's it. That the fate of whether they make an exponential jump this year, it's really on two people, Obi Toppin and Tom Thibodeau. Now, we know Tom Thibodeau is a great coach. Obi Toppin's the player of the year in the NCAA last year. Is he going to come in and move the needle that much? So, if you're a Knicks fan, and I got a lot of pushback yesterday, how could you be satisfied with what's gone on? I mean, you must have the patience of Job to keep saying, you know, we got to build around the young guys. You've been doing that for years, and you keep missing.
But we have to figure out, and this is going to end up being the same conversation we always have, you know, why doesn't anybody want to come here? All right, they've changed the management. Is it Dolan? Now, we fought against that. But why is it that it doesn't seem like they're able to win anybody over? Now, I think each individual situation. Van Vliet wanted to stay in Toronto. Okay, I get that. Toronto's can compete for a championship, right? But why are you... Hayward, was it just too much money? But at the end of the day, they wanted to improve themselves and haven't been able to do that. Why is that? I don't think incompetence is on the table. I think they've got good people running this team. But why is it, can they not land the people that they need?
It's very distressing.
And if that's the case, then what good is all this cap space if you're just going to get turned down by the biggest free agents every time?
And that's why I've said it for years, Don. Cap space is air. You got to spend it on something. But, so what are they spending it on? I just told you the names I spent it on. So once again, you spent it on players for this one reason. So that you can hold the cap space for next year, because they all got one-year deals, including Austin Rivers, who got a three-year deal, but just the first year is guaranteed. Oh. So whenever the first year is guaranteed, you know what? It's a one-year deal. Because they want to clear $40 million in cap space again.
All right, but Giannis is off the table, you would think, right?
Yeah, that's because with the Heat signing Adebayo, you would assume that means Giannis is going to sign in the next couple of days, because the Heat were keeping that slot open for Giannis.
Right.
And they both have the same aging, Adebayo and Giannis. So that tells you if they're signing Adebayo, then Giannis is not coming.
So who else is available?
Anthony Davis might sign a one-and-out deal with the Lakers. He's not. Why would you leave the Lakers? I guess you could say, well, if LeBron leaves. Why is LeBron leaving?
Or is it just...
Because LeBron has an out after this year, too.
All right, well, maybe LeBron leaves, or another year, another championship. I mean, who knows? Eventually... You know, Davis is going to have that team to himself. You know, so does he want that? Or does he want to go someplace else? Like, who else is available? Because, you know, maybe you don't get the big guys, but maybe you're able to get somebody that's going to help this team. I understand you, and you don't want to not spend the cap space, or spend the cap space and then find out, oh, I would have went there, but you can't afford me.
You know what we need to start thinking about, guys? When they don't get anyone this year, what is the highest expectation we can have, and will they achieve that becomes the question. Because, Michael, as bad as all of this feels, if Thibodeau can get this team to play just under 500 basketball and sneak them in at 8, which in the East is very possible, you could get to 37 wins and make the playoffs. Does that make you feel differently? And then do you feel good about what is starting to happen?
Yes.
So that's where the pressure mounts. Because if they can... I agree with Michael 100%. If this team wins 24 games, it is so depressing. It is such deja vu all over again for the fan base. It feels like you're the Jets. Like you haven't even started your rebuild yet. But if he can win 35 to 40 games and will them into the playoffs, well, I think you have a fan base that gets very, very excited.
But then what you have is what Brooklyn did a couple of years ago, where they overachieved, they snuck into the playoffs. And many believe that really kind of attracted KD and Kyrie, like, look at what they were able to do. Now we can join a playoff team and make them even better. If Thibodeau is that good, doesn't Don't free agents want to then play with him and say, boy, if this team in a 72-game schedule is able to squeeze out, I don't know, 35 wins and sneak in as the 8 seed, wouldn't that make that attractive
but now,
for free agents?
But what Michael's going to argue here is because they didn't even go out and get anyone, they just don't have the talent to do it. They don't
now,
have that
if,
one player.
Well, here's how it happens, though. Toppin's a real deal and can be an impact player right away, and R.J. Barrett takes an exponential leap. By the way, I looked it up, Don. Here are the top 15 free agents after this year.
All right.
Antetokounmpo.
Okay.
LeBron, who has a player option. Kawhi, who has a player option. Paul George, who has a player option. Rudy Gobert. Victor Oladipo. Drew Holiday. Kyle Lowry. DeMar DeRozan. Chris Paul, who has a player option. Blake Griffin, player option. Mike Conley, who's 33. Andre Drummond.
All right.
Steven Adams.
But you threw out the first, Peter, right? There's just some pretty attractive names beyond the impossibilities. Like, you're not going to get Giannis. You're not going to get Anthony Davis. You're not going to get LeBron. But beyond that, there's some names there.
You know who I could see doing it?
Oladipo.
Kawhi?
The one that stands out to me for some reason that I could just see, because he's so weird, I could see it happening, is Kawhi. First of all, the fact that he's been so good on every team that he's been on, and we'll see what he's able to do next year, maybe he's the guy who's willing to take on the challenge.
I mean, do you just say, nobody wants to come here, so let's forget it? Or do you at least try?
Yeah,
do you just give up?
I agree with trying, Don, but you keep trying, right? And you keep saving cap space that you might not use.
But you always run into that possibility that you find out years later, Kawhi would have came here, but you weren't on the table because you didn't have the cap space. Do you want that to happen too? Or do you just say, listen, no one's ever going to come here for whatever reason, whether it's Dolan, whether it's the pressure of New York City, whether it's the fact we haven't won a championship since 1973, we are now going to completely build via trade and draft and forget free agency? Or do you hold out hope that one day a significant player like a Kawhi Leonard will say, you know what, I want to play with Thibodeau. I want to play on the big stage.
Now, I wonder if this goes into the Knicks thinking too. So, the Board of Governors announced a couple of days ago that the NBA will take the teams with the 7th through the 10th highest winning percentages in each conference and will take play and have a tournament to take place at
like
the end of the regular season, which would get the 7th and 8th teams in.
Right.
So I wonder if the Knicks, if they finish with the 9th or 10th best record, which, I mean, it's awfully hard to miss the playoffs. If the top 10 teams, quote unquote, make the playoffs, would they consider that making the playoffs?
I mean, I guess it's in the eye of the beholder, right? I mean, you would be playing postseason games.
Right.
Beyond the 72-game schedule, and maybe with a really good coach and a team that maybe is overachieving, maybe have a shot to at least make some noise. That's
something to think about. Something to think about. So let's get our contest going. You heard the audio clue. We're giving away a 58-inch TV, which we love. So now we need you to identify that VIP celebrity voice. Veronica and Clifton, you're first up. Veronica?
Hold on, I can't hear you.
Hello, Veronica.
Hello.
You hear me?
Yes, I can now.
Excellent.
Okay, what is your guess?
Chet Palminteri?
No, it's not Chet.
It's a good guess, though.
Yeah, it's a good
guess.
It's a good
Thank
pull.
You. Let's go to Gary in Morristown. Gary?
How you doing, guys? I'm going to say Billy Crystal.
You know what? You're going to win.
Wow, I did not hear that.
You are going to win.
Really?
You get yourself a Samsung 4K 58-inch TV.
This is great.
How about that, Gav?
You know where you're going to put it?
Thank you so much. I'm a huge fan of you guys. I've called in before. Happy Thanksgiving to all you guys.
Where are you putting this TV, Gary? Are you going to give it away?
I got to be selfish. I'm putting it dead smack in the middle of our living room.
There you go.
Our TV actually just broke. The bottom broke.
Perfect. So. Not that your TV broke, but now you got a new one.
Yeah, just like everybody else, it's been an awful year. So, guys, thank you so much. This is unbelievable. I'm a big fan. I watch every day.
Thank you, buddy. I'm glad that we could brighten your day a little bit. We hope you have a great, great Thanksgiving. And enjoy the TV. Keep us on that TV,
all right?
All right?
Happy Thanksgiving, you guys and your families.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold. We'll get all your information. Can you imagine how good I look on a 58-inch TV?
Yeah, I can.
How about all of us? I think we're all good looking, no?
Well, no, not really. I'm not saying who's better looking, but we're not all good looking.
I'm the guy, right? I'm the one that's... It can't be Peter. He's
gorgeous. No, Kaleidoscope did a great job on your hair.
I think Michael could be the worst looking of the three of them.
You really believe that?
I'm thinking about it right now. It's Don's right. It's not me. So it's between you and Don.
You really are an acquired taste. There are people that find you hideous and people that find you good looking.
Honestly, I think the people who find me, I don't think I'm great looking.
I like a lot of guys.
But I think the people who say I'm hideous, it comes from such hate. Like, if anything, I'm just kind of average and meh.
I hate to see you.
We'll see. But Ray, I think that's affected by my personality.
Who's talking now?
Thank you. I'm very excited that he won a TV when he was so in need of one, too.
That's perfect, right?
It's beautiful. Perfect.
What are you giving away on Friday during the show?
By the way, so much. You don't even know. I can't reveal that yet. I still have guests to announce, prizes to announce.
Well, you told us yesterday you could have the Wingster on, Trey Wingo.
Well, those were my initial guests.
Ryan Clark.
Yeah, we have the Wingster and Ryan Clark. We're going to talk some foosball with those guys. But there's much more than that.
I want to see you get Tyson on, who's fighting.
I need to know. He said that he can find guests that are more compelling or better interviews than Tyson and Jones Jr. I'd like to know who they are.
I believe I can get someone on the show to talk about the fight.
The ghost of Burt Sugar.
That's exactly what it is.
You know what? I will give you total props on Monday if you could get Chance the Rapper to call in.
Why Chance the Rapper?
Because he's big.
Let's talk do that hockey. With him.
Yeah.
So if I could do a hockey segment with Chance, you'd be impressed.
That would impress me.
All right. Maybe I'll show you
the last
something.
Few years, he's spoken to more hockey players than me.
Also, didn't you also make the career of a Kendrick Lamar?
I don't think I'm going to try to burn a Kendrick favor on the sports talk show.
Really?
He has zero interest in sports.
Don,
hear me out. There are favors worth burning, but Kendrick would have nothing to say about sports, and he has an album coming somewhat soon, people say. I just don't think that's a wise play for anyone.
Well, okay. I can't wait to hear the show.
Trust me, it's going to be spectacular.
Lit?
I'll tell you one thing, and I guarantee this, as God is my witness. Friday on the show, it's going to hit different. Okay, real different.
It's going to be finna slap?
That's not how you say that at all.
Finna slap.
Thin the slap?
It is finna slap. But it's what did you just say?
Stop capping. What does capping mean?
Hey, brother?
I can't wait for the show. And it's just the show. It's not the Michael K. Show. It's not connected. The Michael K. Show does not approve any of the messages that will be sent out by Peter on Friday.
You want to know what this show is without Michael?
The show.
It's called The Show. You know, maybe we'll run a message before the show on Friday. Like, Don, you wouldn't remember this, but your brother would. When I was a little kid, the greatest thing on planet Earth would be on Saturday night at 11:30 when you would turn on NBC and it would say, Saturday Night Live will not be shown this week because of tonight's special NBC Sports presentation. And then the song would come on. Dan, 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 and it would roll into Saturday night's main event. And it was the greatest thing in the world, WWE on a Saturday night. That's what I might run a message Friday at 2:55. The Michael Kay Show will not be heard today because of this special ESPN presentation. And then we come with a whole different theme song. The show is going to be gigantic, Michael. And you're now challenging me. I want to get a guest. I might get Obama on Friday. Maybe I get Obama.
He's pushing a book.
He's been pushing the book everywhere. Why not? Now, here's my question, honestly.
If you could get me the last two actual presidents, that would be impressive.
If you
get Obama and Trump on, the show's named after you on Monday.
Well, what if I can't score Trump? He's a very divisive individual. What if I got Obama and Bush?
That'd be great.
You'd be impressed?
In
all seriousness,
at all.
Not Jeb. George.
No, George. George W. Now, in all seriousness, everything's going normally, and you guys find out Friday morning that I have 30 minutes with Obama on Friday.
Yep.
Are you staying off the show?
Yeah.
Don?
You got to lay out.
Your get.
Is there any get that I could pull that you would go, all right, I'm coming on the show, I don't care?
No.
Wow.
I've already been told I can't because I have to use my vacation.
Hold on, Peter. There's plenty that I would under normal circumstances, but that would be rude. This is your show. It would be your booking. You got to go for it, man.
If you want to be like Alan Alda,
you could on Friday, right, get Clinton, Bush, and Obama.
Wow.
The show is permanently named the Peter Rosenberg Show.
You promise?
Yeah.
So if I have a 3 o'clock Obama... 4 o'clock.
I don't
George
care when Duck. You have them.
5 o'clock. The kid from Little Rock.
Right.
Back to back.
Hope.
The kid from Hope. Sorry. Right.
Well, the great thing about all three Hope. Of those former presidents, you could talk sports with all of them.
Especially Bush.
That's Clinton, a great point.
Clinton loved college basketball. Loved the tournament.
Now I want to talk to you guys about Nolan Richardson and the defense they're running down there.
College basketball starting tonight.
That's right.
Bush now we know Don's team. List coming up, Peter. Top 10 presidents you want as a guest.
Top wow. Yeah.
Well, that's very difficult to do. No,
can't,
you'd have
you can't
to
even
do it
do
this
five,
way.
Can
you don't want to show your hand. Top five.
Well, I mean, if you're looking for ratings, the guy you want is the guy in office right now.
The top five presidents true. That you could talk sports with that would be a great sports guest.
You know what? Trump knows sports.
Trump would be on the list.
Yeah.
He would be on the list.
Bush
Trump
knows
would be
sports.
On the list.
Bush Obama knows sports really well.
He does.
Yeah, because he would always do the tournament bracket on ESPN every year. You know who was a big, big football guy was Nixon.
Yeah, he's not with us, Don.
I thought so. It's got to be living presidents. We can't even get to five.
Yes, you can. There's five living presidents.
No, there's
six. Hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
Hey, Jimmy, what's up, baby? You good? Maybe Jimmy I can ask Young Sav if he can get me Jimmy.
Yeah,
Jimmy, what's up, baby? Good.
He's got Jimmy's digits.
Jimmy, Clinton, Bush, Obama,
Trump.
But he's not a former president until January 22nd. We're talking about tomorrow.
21st. Yeah, it's true. That's true. Oh, you're right. So that's it.
So you can't, but you got to have more than five. So we can't go. I'd love, you know, great. You know what would be a great center stage guest if you go back in time? Have ton to say. Teddy Roosevelt. That's a great, that'd be a great.
All right, you know what?
Hold on, Michael. You should think about this. See if you can get Teddy.
Of all the presidents that, I mean, if I could go back in time, I don't think Teddy Roosevelt would be the center
stage. Oh, that's it.
He's
my number one. Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
I don't know. Kennedy or Nixon are both very interesting.
I was going to say, based on
Lincoln would have a lot of stories to tell.
Based on Michael's interests, I think he'd really want the Kennedy conversation.
I think I would also, I think I'd want to go back to Washington.
So you're saying that secret dinner tell-all, like that the Kennedy would maybe be on the Namath level?
I think he'd be beyond Namath. I think Kennedy would be beyond.
I think you'd have to go Kennedy Clinton if you're looking for that kind of salacious show.
Well, that's kind of rude.
Well, how's that rude?
Well, because Kennedy's no longer with us, but with Bill, you know.
All right, so let's towel off because we have a list, a surprise list today. Don has a list.
Here we go.
So let's settle down. We'll get that in just a moment on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Everybody, it's me! I'm back! And guess what? It's another Don segment!
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don!
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists. Take it away, Donnie!
This was offered up to me. We actually discussed it late last week. So I figured I'd go with it today. I have also have time for a top five, maybe Thanksgiving related tomorrow, guys. Right?
I would love that, Don. Just a straight up Thanksgiving food list or something like that. I'd enjoy it.
Michael's going to dig this one the most, and I really struggled with this, and I think this is going to be fun. Top five eligible Yankees not in the Hall of Fame.
Top five eligible Yankees not in the Hall of Fame. I like to go first.
Sure.
And I would like to say Don Mattingly.
Don Mattingly, he's number two.
Ooh!
MVP, six-time All-Star, batting title, nine-time Gold Glove winner.
Well, then I know where you're going, number one.
Huh? Donnie Baseball is number two.
How about Ron Guidry?
Ron Guidry, I really debated Guidry.
Oh, that Michael, that goes beyond thought about it.
Yeah. Oh, this is beyond thought about. Actually debated. I'll give you my entire list when we're done. I've got Guidry at three.
Wow.
Ron Guidry, a Cy Young Award winner, four-time All-Star, two-time ERA title champion, and five Gold Gloves, which is a little fugazi for the pitching position, but still, they give it away. Ron Guidry, who was also 5-2 in the postseason with a 3 earned run average,
stud,
is number three.
How about, Don, Roy Clemens?
Roy Clemens?
A.K.A. Roger Clemens.
No. Not
no.
even considered.
I don't understand.
Well, he made his bones as a Hall of Famer in Boston and in Toronto. He was good with the Yankees, but no.
He won a Cy Young with the Yankees.
That's great for him and his family.
Well, I mean, he's a Cy Young winner, and he's one of the greatest pitchers of all time.
That's true. But I'm focused on Yankees.
On the Yankees.
How about Thurman Munson?
Thurman Munson is number four, Michael. That's a good pull. MVP, Rookie of the Year, seven-time All-Star, three-time Gold Glove champion, and could have been so much more. Thurman Munson is four.
Tell me when you want me to take over, Peter.
No, you know what, Michael? Stick it in your hat. Is that what you say? What's the line?
No, you can put it in your pipe and smoke it.
Put it in your hat.
Put it in your hat and smoke it. hold on. Give me a second, please. Please give me a second.
As he's going to...
No, I'm not going anywhere.
There. He does look like he's on the computer, but
I'm on my computer. I'm texting people about guests for Friday. What, Don? Can you give me a hint on era or no?
No.
Yankee man.
All right. How about this as a hint? Number five and number one are both from the same year.
And I wonder if that's the modern era. And if it's the modern era, then who would that be? All right, Michael, go ahead. I'm going to keep thinking.
I think your number one has to be Andrew Eugene Pettitte.
That's right. Andy Pettitte is number one. 256 career wins, but 219 of them with the Yankees, including 19 postseason victories. Actually, I really was back and forth, guys.
Boom, I know where to go now.
Guidry, you can make the case that Guidry was better than Pettitte. Now, he didn't have the longevity that Pettitte had, but you know what? Maybe Guidry would have had 19 postseason wins had there been an extra couple of rounds the way there is now, right? I mean, so, and Pettitte's Yankees were much better than Guidry's Yankees because Guidry also had a bunch of, post-81 seasons where the Yankees were not nearly as good as those Yankee teams of the 90s and the early 2000s. But I went with Andy. Plus, I owed him one for my comment the other day.
How about... you're going to say I'm stupid, but I just know he's a great player who's not in the Hall. How about Bernie Williams?
Well, Bernie Williams would be number five.
Yeah.
22 postseason home runs, which is second to Manny Ramirez all time. He is a four-time World Series champion, five-time Gold Glove winner, and won a batting title. Bernie Williams is number five. Now, guys,
can I throw in David Cone, too?
No, again, I'm not. I did
Can't
consider
you make him 5A?
I did consider Mel Stottlemyre. I did consider Jorge Posada.
And I did consider
Willie Randolph. Now,
that's a great, great mention by you. Randolph had a great career.
What it really hurt him, he only batted .222 in the postseason, but still, he had a really good career. He also spent a lot of time elsewhere, but a lot of time, 13 years with the Yankees. But he spent time elsewhere and didn't start with the Yankees, but he was considered. I think what really blows me away, and you got to really sit down and explain to me war, Michael. Because I was really thinking...
Well, that's when two sides go against each other and fight.
Understood, but I'm talking about the baseball.
Good job,
Michael. Wins above replacement.
No, I understand what.
Also, Chris Carlin said, "Where the bleep is Paul O'Neill?"
No.
Wow.
I mean, Paul. Who are you taking off? Who are you taking out, Chris Carlin? Who are you taking out? Because what was I would just double check because I know what WAR stands for. Absolutely nothing. But
well said.
But the WAR wins above replacement, Michael. You would say that Guidry and Pettit are very comparable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pettit never won a Cy Young. Ron Guidry went to more All Star games.
Yeah,
than
but
Pettit
WAR
did.
Accrues, Don. So if you play longer, you get more WAR.
I guess that has to be it. But you would say they're kind of in the vicinity of each other, right?
Yeah.
And Pettit's teams were much better than Guidry's teams. Guidry's WAR is 47.8.
Right.
Pettit's WAR is 60.2.
Well, he pitched so many more years, Don.
I know, but come on.
So you add WAR together. So you could have a 4 WAR. I mean, that's how you do it. So the longer career you have, the more WAR you're going to have if you don't have a big drop-off. And for those that don't know, WAR is you take an average replacement player and you put him in that position. And then you have a star like a Guidry in that position. How many more wins above that replacement player does he give
him? Right, and so he accrued more because he played longer.
Right.
Would you say that Pettit was a better pitcher than Guidry?
No. I think Guidry in his prime is one of the best pitchers ever. Yeah.
They just maybe just not long enough.
I mean, the 25-3 year, if you look at that, it's one of the best pitchers, best seasons in Major League history.
But I guess what hurts Guidry is that, no, listen, he pitched a long time, 75 to 88, 14 years.
Anthony Greek wants to throw Greg Nettles at you.
Greg Nettles was an outstanding defensive third baseman and home run hitter. I will ask Greek what I've asked Carlin. Who are you taking out? Exactly. Who would you take out? Who doesn't belong, Mike? Is there anybody that on this list where you said, I put Paul O'Neill there. I put Greg Nettles there. I put Willie Randolph there.
Did you think Tino?
No, I didn't. A lot of time, obviously, in Seattle. Cardinals. All right, who are you taking out?
No, I'm not. I'm just wondering who you considered.
Oh, I told you who I considered. Mel Stottlemyre was somebody I really thought
Posada
of.
is legitimate. I mean, I don't know why he... And I joke about David Cone. 5 world championships, and you look at his WAR, he has some great seasons. The thing that bothers me about David Cone is that he didn't even stay on the ballot. He didn't get enough votes to stay on the ballot. Because I think that his candidacy would have grown in stature the longer people took a look at it. But I think he was on the ballot for 1 year. He didn't get over 5%.
But to me, Michael... When I mention this list specifically, and again, 5 very productive years with the Yankees. But when you talk about Yankees not in the Hall of Fame, I'm not talking about people that played for the Yankees not in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
He put together a Hall of Fame career that encompasses great years with the Mets, great years in Kansas City and Toronto. I mean, really. So when you look at the complete body of work, Michael, the Yankees are a segment of a Hall of Fame career. So that's a separate debate. Because if you wanted to go, you know, Yankees that deserve to be in the Hall of Fame that just happened to play for the Yankees, you could expand the list out. But is Cone a Yankee the way the guy's on the list? The only guy I have on the list that spent any time away from the Yankees was Pettitte with the 3 years in Houston. Otherwise, Guidry, Mattingly, Munson, Williams, all career lifelong Yankees. And Posada and Stoudemire and, well, Randolph spent, you know, time elsewhere, but his best
no
years
fault
with
of his own.
You can't say that David's best years were with the Yankees.
He had a Cy Young in 94 with the Royals.
Right. He won 20 games with the Yankees in 98. But he also won 20 games with the Mets in 88.
But I think he spent more time with the Yankees than any other team, am I right? He didn't spend 5 years with the Mets.
He was 5 years with the Mets, 87 to 91.
So the exact same.
Well, the Yankees, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well,
no, he's 5.5 because he joined the
five
Yankees.
5.5
because
he joined in 95. So a little bit more time. But, again, I think his best years.
How about body of work thing for him? Because he's become just one of the best broadcasters ever. You know who else you left off? And is going to get into the Hall of Fame, I think? Lou Piniella. He is getting into the Hall of Fame.
What, with the Veterans Committee or that,
yeah, he will.
That yo-yo vote thing? He was a great Yankee. There's no question. Little time elsewhere, but mostly
Yankees. Wow. Our resident comedian, Mike Gaffney, just singed you. He says, so Andy Pettitte was good enough for number one on this list, but barely deserves 17 on the top guest list.
You know, it's such a great point by Gaffney.
Well, wait a minute. It's not a great point by Gaffney, as funny as he is, a resident comedian and all that. Again, that's the negative swill that Michael likes to sit there and serve as a bartender about me knocking Pettitte and not complimenting the list.
This is Gaffney saying it, not me.
No, but he gets suckered by you because, again, he's another one of these, DiPietro types that think that sucking up to you is going to get you anywhere.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's take a timeout. We'll take some phone calls, and then we have Obi Toppin on at 5.
Yes.
And after that, Keyshawn. It's Kay LaGreco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.